I'll tell you, I'm very humbled to be here. I really am. And but one of the good things is, one of the great things about being here is seeing some faces that I haven't seen in some time, and some folks that I've had connection with outside of CBMC. Getting the opportunity to share. But I've got three questions before we start. What do you call a cow in an earthquake? A milkshake. What do you call a dinosaur with a good vocabulary? A thesaurus. And I hope I don't offend anyone, but do you all know why the French people enjoy eating snails? They don't like fast food. Exactly. Exactly. Very good. Very good. All right, there's work to do here. Like many of you could share, I grew up in a good home. Both parents were present. I had a younger brother, not a little brother, because most of the time he outweighed me and was slightly taller, was quick and strong, fooled a lot of people in athletics, and he could always give me a good thumping. We knew we were loved, and even though we were not a touchy-hugging family until our wives came along, there was no abuse, neglect, or any other feelings that might change the way we might turn out in adulthood. My parents set a great example of doing the right things the right way. My mother worked part-time as a church secretary, and that was a Methodist church, so she broke in about seven ministers. You know how the Methodist church can be sometimes. But she was home when we got home from school. One of her love languages was cooking and sharing with others. My father provided, took care of the home, and spent time with my brother and I in sports, camping, fishing, and sharing his love, which was gardening. He set a great example for my brother and my education, and he saved a lot for his retirement and provision from my mother upon his passing. I'm very, very thankful that they had the opportunity to enjoy some great things, trips and cruises, before my father fell to Alzheimer's. I was moderately successful in athletic opportunities, but I really excelled in music. Band from elementary school, choir, and through high school and college. During my early teen years, our church hosted a group from a small Christian college, in Kentucky. My life in that church would never be the same. Guitars, sandals, long hair, which would be normal for like a lot of worship leaders now, but it was out of the norm very much for our church, spent the weekend with us and with a new form message and song. At the end of that Sunday night service, there was, I guess you could call it an invitation, I gave my life to Christ. With the excitement of many of my friends doing the same thing, we were truly on a mountaintop. But I also remember my dad sharing with me later that week, "Be prepared to come down off that mountain." I did, and we did. Our youth director left, and out with, so most of our zeal went away. Let's say there was a decision, but there was no change. As I grew up, I enjoyed experimenting with the temptations of youth. A bit mischievous, and I did develop a bad habit around this time. Lying and deception to really keep myself out of trouble at home. More about that later. Upon graduation from high school, I made the decision to go to Tennessee Tech University to major in music education. My major instrument was tuba. Yet all 150 pounds of me, tuba. I do remember we performed in New York City, and we had to go from the hotel. We had to bring our instruments with us, and we all had big hard cases, and we're lumbering down Broadway or somewhere in New York, and a gentleman said, "Don't you wish you'd played flute?" And I said, "No, actually, harmonica would have gone in my pocket." Before the first quarter started, we had band camp, and then freshman orientation. And at the first freshman mixer, I met the girl who would later become my wife. We dated all through college, married soon after graduation. But what really cemented our relationship was church. We had both attended Methodist churches in our hometowns, and we found a church there in Cookeville. Challenge was, neither one of us had a car, so we had to walk to the downtown church. But that really kind of cemented our relationship and our church relationship. We attended there the 4 years we were in school, and later that pastor actually did perform our marriage ceremony. After graduation, I was very, very fortunate to find an assistant band director's job in Cleveland, Tennessee. We moved there. We had a great band staff who, in addition to doing a great job of teaching music, taught the rewards of hard work and discipline. It really means a lot to me now to hear the success of some of the students that are out in the real life. Even now, I hear some things about them. My new wife and I settled in. We were a part of the community, church community, but through this time, I was playing the role of Sunday Christian, going to church, then partying on the weekends with my college friends. We had two beautiful daughters, and I was promoted from the assistant's position to directing the band program. I poured myself into it, and I worked very, very hard 6 days a week. I was trying to make my program the best it could be. Emphasis on that word, my. I was away from my family and seeking acclaim and awards for me. The band and I were being recognized on a regional and national level. I was doing it, making a name for me. I realized that my self-centered, me-centered most of the time, my pride-filled life really altered the way I was treating those closest to me. There was a feeling of entitlement, and I thought I could handle it. Let's go back to the word pride. My definition of pride is the ability for a man to do potentially stupid things. My stupid thing during this time, through my selfishness, I got involved in an emotional affair. This really jeopardized my ability to be effective in a teaching role and led to me losing this great position, a position I'd worked very, very hard to achieve. It was gone. Embarrassment, shame, humiliating my family, my wife, and nearly destroying my family. I say nearly because she forgave, but she never forgot. We got through. We worked very hard together, and me some on an individual basis, and we recovered. But did I really change? Again, I was fortunate to find a new job, a new career in the tour and travel business. And then I began the journey of rebuilding trust in the marriage. That's a very difficult thing to do, and I'm sure if any of you have had to try to do that in any kind of a relationship, whether it's at home or at work, you know what I'm talking about. The tour and travel business was a roller coaster. It was some good things. Nice trips, discounted travel. And it allowed me to do some really good things with my wife and family. It also was really challenging because I worked. It was like a 24/7 job. I was tied to a pager, and groups were traveling all times. You know, there was always somebody out on the weekends. Sometimes I would drive, which would take me away from home. In some moment of greatness. I decided it would be a good idea for me to buy a bus, a motor coach. I thought I'd make more money. Instead of making money, it became a money pit. There were breakdowns. It was a seasonal business. There was more money going out than coming in. I borrowed from life insurance, cash advances from credit cards, and yes, lied to my wife about doing that, justifying in my mind that she did not need any more burden on her. Justification. Me not trusting my best friend to listen and help me work things out. Selfishness and that big word, pride. Finally, I borrowed one too many times, lied about it again, and she'd had enough and filed for divorce. 22 years of marriage, the trust that I had rebuilt was gone. I had not been the spiritual leader, and I had allowed our family to walk away from the one thing that brought us together over 20 years ago, and that was church and God. I was a wreck, physically and mentally. And this led me to losing that second job. Whatever thread of hope I felt was gone. Wow, this guy can't even hold a job. I moved out with my stuff, with the help of some good friends, and when they left, I was alone, and I felt very, very alone. My daughters, who were teenagers now, would not spend time with me, and I really, looking at it now, I don't blame them because they really hated the situation. I hope you're following this thread. No change. I knew I couldn't go on like this. I did not take medications, and here I was dependent on a pill to get me going and a pill to let me down at night. In the low point, though, I sought relief, and I put the pills away and picked up God's Word. That same weekend, I got a call from who would be my bride, someone I had met in the tour business. As she was in sales, called on our business. She had heard I was going through a tough time. We had a few phone conversations, and that Sunday, as I was getting ready for church, she called me and asked me to attend church with her. We spent time together, we grew closer and closer, and eventually fell in love and got married. Problem, I married her with over $11,000 in debt that I kept from her. Not a good way to start. And I didn't own up to my mistakes and tried to shift the blame to others. After 5 years of this and that and ways of deception, she'd had enough. Even through this, I was real fortunate to make a connection to CBMC. I saw some men gathering in a side room of a restaurant. I asked one of them about it, and they told me who to contact. And I did, and he led me to a noon group, which I was able to attend with my job. And when I was between jobs, I even participated in Men in Transition. That was a great program, great time of encouragement and Bible study. And got to meet some really, again, another group of men, like-minded men. While Kathy and I were divorced, I was praying that God would make me the man that He would have me to be. And if He saw fit, the woman He desired for me. I was trying to make a fresh start. I took a new job. This time it was my choice. And a new life. I picked up my phone and I'd missed a call. It was her. We started dating and eventually remarried. So yes, she's my second and my third wife. But have you heard the word change? After a short while, we separated. Love of self allowed me to fall again. These failures were sins against my wife and against a loving God. The Apostle Paul wrote, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." I called one of the gentlemen with CBMC. I told him where I was, that I couldn't stand the guy in the mirror any longer. I told him exactly where Kathy and I were, and I told him I really needed some help, accountability, guidance, Christian guidance. I knew that he was so busy that he would direct me to someone else with CBMC who could help. No, he took me under his wing, and through Bible study, prayer, mentoring, but most of all, accountability, I was able to grow and show the meaning of show my wife to allow me to rebuild the trust, and she showed me the meaning of forgiveness. I don't take any of this lightly to this day. Fortunately, that man and I stayed. And when things were going great, we were able to stay in a weekly time together and treasure those moments now. I opened my Bible many, many times to read Scripture, and there's a note with that young man's name up beside it, that, you know, where we had studied that passage. Kathy and I have been together for over 14 years without any problems. I've shared, I've laid it out. A lot of you I've known for a long time, and you didn't know these things about me. But the bottom line was this: with all my great intentions, I could not fix me. But what's most important? There's more to life than a good job, success, great marriage, family, friends, all the man toys in the garage. With me, I'm a gadget guy. I got to have the next gadget. Being a fan of a winning football team and money in the bank. I've heard several men say this many times. Even with all of that, there was something missing. I saw things that pleased me. God is relentless in His pursuit of us. And after all, He sacrificed His Son for us. I accepted Jesus as my Savior, but there was no change. I was broken, and sin was separating from God. I nearly lost everything, and there was change on the surface, but there, I had not changed my heart. I finally looked at myself, and I'd had enough. I can't emphasize enough the relationship aspect of this. Folks, reach out. Isolation and pride and selfishness can be crippling. With the help of my brothers in Christ and their dedication to come alongside me and walk me through the process of me recognizing my sins and providing godly guidance through the Scriptures and making me accountable on a weekly basis, God's love was evident through that discipleship. Now, what do I have? I have a restored marriage, trust, calm in our home, a relationship with God that puts Him first, relationships with like-minded men. I was invited, Doug White invited me to assist in some of the coaching, the coaching program with CBMC. I was so excited to participate in that. I was getting back together with some men. I got to know two new brothers in Christ. Jesus' death built that bridge to that peace. Pointed out in Philippians, rather He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in an appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus took our burdens of our sins. Also, I now have a renewed prayer life that is not just a checklist of requests, but it's filled with praise and worship of what God has done and what God is going to do. God is God, and I am not. God calls us to engage by design, His design. 1 John 2:15 shares, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." We have a choice. We can be selfish or selfless. All of us are familiar with guardrails. Some may be more familiar than others. Andy Stanley suggests, especially with men, we need to establish those guardrails in our lives to keep our lives where they need to be. Some of you may find yourself in a situation similar to what I was in that created so many problems. You may also be saying, "Oh, I can handle it." But I ask you, in the heat of the moment, can you? Finally, there was change. I'm still a work in progress, but I know that I am forgiven. The Bible also tells us if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. As I told you, some 55 years ago, I accepted Christ by faith. I've renewed that commitment, and I prayed a prayer that I would like for you to join me in today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I know that I am a sinner and I'm in need of your forgiveness. I believe that through Jesus' sacrifice, those sins are forgiven. I ask you now to come into my heart as my personal Savior, and I ask for your help to live for you and fulfill you everything that you have called me to do. I thank you that I am forgiven, and I ask your strength to follow you in faithful obedience. I ask these things in a loving and gracious Father's name. Amen. Gentlemen, there's an envelope on your table for ladies and gentlemen. There's an envelope in the center that has some cards and also has some writing utensils. If you take a moment and fill out the information, also, if you look at that section that says, as a result of what I've heard today, box number one, if you would mark that. If you experienced if you were moved to pray for the first time to accept Christ's free gift of eternal life. Box number two, mark this box if you have experienced a confirmation of faith and love from Christ compelling you to live for Him like never before. Number three, mark this box if you have any questions about CBMC and their opportunities to help you grow in knowing, honoring, and serving Christ. What can you expect if you check these boxes? A humbled and caring man from CBMC will reach out to you. The invitation will be for a cup of coffee or similar safe place to listen and help with any questions you may have. This is a simple setting to taste the Bible's definition of interacting in a community of like-minded men. Thank you for your attention. And again, I'm very humbled to be here and sharing, and I hope some small part of it will mean something along your life as well.